Hey, hey, this is Takara, and you are listening to A Letter to My Sister podcast. You are in the right place if you are raised to be a strong, independent woman who didn't have to depend on anybody for anything, but then you realize there were some lessons that you didn't quite get as you were going along the way. We often go through life the best way that we know how, and we don't even realize that there's a better way. So in here, there will be some raw and real conversations surrounding life lessons about the things that we wish that we had known, maybe about self, love, money, and even our careers. So if you're new here, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and I would love for you to leave a rating and review as well. So now that we've got all that out the way, let's chat, sis. Hey, sis. Welcome back to another episode of A Letter to My Sister podcast. If you have been here all season, you know exactly what we're talking about, which is relationships. In today's topic of relationship, one thing that I wish was talked about more when it came to relationships is what to do when you're feeling stuck. And I don't mean stuck as in I'm trapped in this relationship, but I mean stuck in terms of, okay, how do we fix this? Because we keep going over this thing over and over and over again. Or is this relationship worth keeping at this moment because we have not made any progress? Or what can we do to start making progress? And so I feel like you're going to get a lot of information, a lot of good nuggets from today's conversation that I'm having with Melissa about how in the world can we get unstuck? So listen up. All right, Melissa, thank you so much for coming on to A Letter to My Sister podcast. And I am so excited for this interview because you are going to tell us how in the world we get unstuck in our relationships, or kind of evaluate whether we want to stay or we want to go. So I'm going to let you hop right into it. How do we get unstuck?
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really do appreciate it. So to dive right into the meat of the matter, a lot of us always walk into relationships with the mindset or the thought that something's wrong with our partner. It's their fault. It's them. And I'm not negating it. Sometimes that is the truth. You know, sometimes they might have a few issues. But the truth in fact is, a lot of us don't take the time to really look at us. We don't look at me. What am I contributing to this relationship that could cause it to not go that well? Or what could I contribute to this relationship to turn it around? No one looks at that. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things.
That's good. Because I know even for me, looking back into my divorce, especially, and I feel like when anyone is going through a divorce, it's very easy for you to blame the other person and say, well, it was them. This is what they did. This is what, you know, what happened. But I always feel like everyone has a piece of the pie to take from it. So even if you feel like somebody was 90% wrong, you still got to own up to that 10% of it. So I definitely think that, number one, we're already starting off strong. That's a powerful statement in and of itself. Look internally first. Mm-hmm. And even I also had a dating coach, and she was saying the problem is sometimes we as women expect men to entertain us. And so we're like, the conversation is so dry. He don't say nothing. He don't do this. And she's like, but what are you contributing to the conversation? Because it takes two people to make a relationship dry. So why didn't you add, or why didn't you contribute to the conversation? So I think that's a great point you made.
You know, it's funny you say that, to piggyback off that a little bit. A lot of us women, and I have to come for us women as well. A lot of us, we have these unrealistic expectations. Like, we really do expect a man to treat us a certain way, act a certain way, talk and walk a certain way. And not to say that anything is wrong with having a preference. Nothing is wrong with that. But when we have expectations that are unrealistic and those needs are not met, we turn around and we resent the person that we are with, you know, and that person technically didn't do anything wrong. It's just that they didn't live up to the imaginations that we had in our head. So we have to work on that. You know, as women, we have to know that if this is something that we want, if we want him to roll out the red carpet every time we go out to dinner, then sis, tell him, I need you to roll out the red carpet for me when we go out, because what? He's not a mind reader. He can't tell you what's going on in your head, you know, and it's unfair to be upset with him for something that he doesn't know.
That's so true. And that's what they tell you too, for like premarital counseling. That was our number one thing that we talked about, was expectations and making sure that you make your expectations known. And so that way you're not forcing someone to assume, and essentially you're making it easy. So then that way, when you put your expectations out there, you can then see exactly how it is that they show up for you. So the quicker that you can figure it out in dating, you can then figure out, all right, is this the type of person that I want to be with or not? But allow them to make that move once you have said what you need or what you want.
I agree. 250%.
250%.
Yes.
Okay. So I know you have an ebook and it has the 5 steps of getting unstuck. Take us through that. So what are the steps that we can go through to get unstuck?
Well, first, we have to identify and acknowledge the fact that our relationships are not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect relationship. I like to say, and I like to use the analogy that Disney messed us up, especially us women. Disney messed us up because we have the mindset that it's Prince Charming. He's going to come and rescue me, the damsel in distress, and we're going to kiss and live happily ever after. And we're not going to have any problems. And it's all going to be peaches and cream and rainbows and unicorns. No, no, absolutely not. And the sooner we can accept the fact that relationships are not perfect, then it's the sooner we'll be on a road to having a more healthy relationship. So that would be my first point. The second point, your plans. And this is kind of what I was talking about before, about expectations. A lot of us, we might come in with the mindset that our relationship is supposed to go a certain way. And when it doesn't, we are left feeling betrayed. We're left feeling like this person used us. And even in another situation, as time goes on, people's plans change. For example, let's say I just started dating someone and things got serious. And, you know, I'm known for, I don't know, let's say I'm a doctor. Let's just say I'm a doctor. And maybe a few months within the relationship, I decide, oh my gosh, I don't really like being a doctor. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go and be like an artist. Nothing against artists, nothing, absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. But now, your partner is not going to be looking at you crazy like, wait, that wasn't the plan. The plan was for us to do this, 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 and this, and now you're changing your plan. People need to understand that plans change. And it's up to you to determine if this change suits your lifestyle, if it suits what it is that you have planned. Because even though you two are, especially in a marriage, if you two are considered as one, but you're still two individuals who have different needs, different likes, dislikes, you know, and unfortunately the misconception is that when the two become one, you know, they have to be in sync with everything. No, it's not. That's not the case. You know, we're still individuals. Like physically, we're two separate people, you know? So it's up to you to determine if this is something that you want to do, if this is something you want to continue with, if you're willing to work through this with your partner. And you just have to evaluate how these plans make you feel, and if these plans are something that will cause an issue down the road, or if it's something that you guys are both willing to work through. Then point number 3 for me would be to evaluate your perspective. And the only reason why I say this, it comes down to the mindset, how we think about things, how we operate with things. Think about how your partner is going to feel about whatever changes are coming in the relationship. Now, granted, again, I know I just said you guys are separate people, but you still want to keep in mind, you know, the likes, the dislikes, and the things that your partner likes. So for example, for me, I am petrified, absolutely petrified of snakes. If my partner decides tomorrow, you know what, I'm going to start collecting snakes, I'm going to bring them home and I'm going to store them up at home. Clearly, I'm not going to be happy about that because I'm scared of snakes. So I would love for my partner to look at things from a different perspective. Hey, you know, I do like snakes, but if I bring them home, Melissa's going to lose her mind because she's scared of snakes. How about I get the snakes, but I keep them somewhere else and I can have my hobby, have my passion, and she can be safe and not scared out of her mind. So we have to look at things from different perspectives. We have to be able to stop being selfish and be more in tune with the needs of our spouse or significant other. So then the next thing, my thing is, and I tell people all the time, please take it slow, take baby steps, because a lot of us want to see changes overnight. And I'm guilty of that. My husband tells me all the time I'm impatient and I'm working on it. Okay. Don't judge me. I'm working on it. So we want to see things happen yesterday. We want to have that love and that feeling of togetherness that people who've been married for 40, 50 years, that what they have. But what we don't understand is those people had to go through hell and back to get to where they are. So we can't just get up overnight and expect to have that same level of love and respect. And not to say the love and respect isn't there. It is. But it's a different kind of love when you've been married for 30, 40 years versus being married for 2, 3, 4 years. We got to understand that it takes time and we got to take baby steps and appreciate every moment as it comes along. And again, it's not going to always be sunshine and it's not going to always be raining. But the good thing is that you'll be able to appreciate the relationship more because of the storms that you guys have weathered together. And then finally, I would definitely want to say that there is no commitment without I. And I know this is crazy because when you're talking about relationships, you always hear people say there's no I in team. And of course, we heard infamously that Kobe said, but there's me though. Okay. So this, I kind of created this before I knew that Kobe said that, but we clearly are on the right, you know, mind frame.
Yeah.
So there's no commitment without an I. There is an I in the word commitment, right? Smack dab in the middle. And the reason why this I is important is because in order for us, we to function and be healthy, I got to be good. There's no way I can be toxic. There's no way I can be abusive. There's no way I can be all these negative things and have a healthy relationship. It's impossible. That's like me taking a bottle of unexpired milk and a bottle of expired milk and pouring a little bit of both into one glass. Is that milk still good? In the milk in the glass, is that milk good? No, it's not. It's been tainted by the bad milk. So it's the same thing in our relationships. If I am not good, if I am exhibiting unhealthy symptoms, then there's no way the relationship as a whole can be good. My suggestion for things like that is always starting with introspection. No one can understand what's going on in your mind except you, and you have to be honest with yourself. Because even though you might think you're fooling everyone, the truth is a lot of people can see your mannerisms and your behaviors. They could see that you're struggling with narcissist tendencies. They could see that you have other issues. And even though you feel like, no, I'm fine, everything is fine, we could see it. So you're really only fooling yourself. So think about what are some of the things that you would want to correct? What are some of the things that make you feel good? So this is where you would think about your personal goals, you know, your hobbies, things that take you back to the core of who you are, things that make you feel fulfilled. And once you start working on those things, of course, as time goes on, you're going to gradually start working on the things within your relationship, you know? So think about what are some of the things you can do to become a better version of yourself. And the first point of that, of course, is being honest and true about who you are. I'm not saying you need to go to the mountaintops and scream out, yes, I'm a narcissist. No, that's not what it is. It's more so of acknowledging within what the issue is and say, okay, I see this is what I struggle with. I'm going to be more mindful about how I respond. I'm going to be more mindful about how I have conversations with my significant other, because my snap judgment or my snap reaction is to say something negative, especially during times when it's not necessary. I got to think about why the relationship that I'm in is so important to me. If this person decided to leave tomorrow because of this, these things that I'm exhibiting, is this something that I would be okay with? Would I be happy knowing that I will never be with this person again for the rest of my life because of my behavior, because of these things that I exhibit? I have to think about the things in the relationship that makes me happy. I got to understand or think about, is it even worth it? Is it worth it for me to give up this happiness to be without this person because I refuse to change, or because I don't want to acknowledge the fact that I do have issues that I need to work through? And then I have to think, and this one is deep, would I be happy if I was with someone who was just like me? And I have to be honest, as someone who's, I would consider myself a recovered selfish person. When I think about being with someone who was just as selfish as I was, that was an immediate turnoff. I was completely disgusted with myself. So why would I allow someone else to go through that if that's something that I don't even want for myself? So those are some of the things I look at. You know, the goal is always to be a better partner. It's always to be a better person. And I do believe once you become a better person, becoming a better partner kind of goes hand in hand. It kind of rolls over, you know, because it's who you are. Once you decide to turn your life around and start walking that straight and narrow, then it's only a matter of time before everything else that's attached to you starts to see that change and starts to see that growth. And of course, remember, it doesn't happen overnight. So if you find yourself making a mistake and you find yourself falling back into old habits, it's okay. Acknowledge that you made a mistake, get up, brush yourself off, and try again. Remember, no relationship is perfect. So it could happen. I catch myself every once in a while sliding back into my old ways, and I have to check myself. I got to tell my husband, hey, I realized what I did. I'm so sorry. I got to do better. You know what I'm saying?
This was good. Okay. So let me go back, because I want to unpack. I want to unpack these a little bit. So when you talked about the first one, which was identify and know that relationships are not perfect, I love the analogy that you get about Disney, because I do it all the time. Because and not only Disney can mess us up, but social media can mess us up as well. Because I see some of these memes like, sis, if you got to tell that man how to love you, he's not the one. Wait a second.
Yep. Yep. I've seen those too.
No, that's not how this works. And I'm like, you can even mess around and be agreeing on these memes that are so harmful to what you think a relationship should be, expected to be, or, you know, anything else like that. And I was like, yeah, we really got to be mindful of not only what we hear, what we see, but then also social media with the other, you know, everyone's a guru in their own right. Everyone is a coach in their own right, but we have to make sure that we are aligned, you know, with the person that's got our best interest at heart when we agree with some of these things, for sure.
I agree 250%. I think too, we've allowed outside influences to determine what our relationship should be like. And if I could just leave a gem, someone once told me, especially as it relates to social media, if you find yourself scrolling and you start to see people who make you feel less than, who make you feel like your relationship is crap, who makes you feel like, you know, this is not the type of relationship, the relationship you're in is not the type of relationship you deserve, then 9 out of 10, you need to unfollow those people, because that's messing with your mental health. And then on top of that, a lot of us don't realize that social media is a front. 90% of what you see on it is not real. 90% of what you see is staged. You know, you see all these love stories, oh, I met this one. He was my Uber driver. And 2 months later, we fell in love and we got married. And now we have 5 kids and we're living happily ever after. And it's all rainbows and candy corn. No, I'm sure they had to go through a whole lot of bumps and bruises and stuff. They might have a happy relationship, but the reality is they're not showing you the ugly parts. Right. They're not showing you the disagreements, the fights, the not returning the phone calls, the walking out. They're not showing you that stuff. They're not showing you the infidelity. They're not showing you the kid they had outside. They're not showing you all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? They're showing you all the good stuff. And that's great. Celebrate the greatness in your relationship. But if you are watching someone on social media that makes you feel less than because of how great their story looks, unfollow them. It's not personal to them. It's for your own mental health.
Yeah, I definitely 100%, as you say, 250% agree with that all the way. Okay, and so the second one for plans, people change, plans change. And I like what you said, or the question that you asked, does this change work for me? Because I think a lot of times we just try to roll with the punches of what's happening because the relationship is going well, but not actually thinking about, okay, but what is the impact of this? Like if you two agree to do something and this person all of a sudden no longer decides to hold up to their end of the bargain, does that still continue to work for you? Because often I hear like a lot of couples get together and maybe they both want to go towards higher education. So then one person will go. Yeah, so one person will go and get their education. And then after that, once they have their education, they decide to dip. So now the other person has supported them, but now they don't have someone to support them. Mm-hmm. Or someone was supposed to go so they could get this higher paying job so that the family finances could be better. And then they're like, okay, you know what? That's really not what I... So even going back to the doctor example you gave, like doctor level has a certain kind of prestige. It comes with a certain amount of pay. And then if you decide to go get something else, that's maybe not as comparable to that. The lifestyle will be totally different. Is that okay for you? So I think that was a very good point that you made. Like when you're rolling with these changes, be honest with yourself and say, okay, but does this work for me?
Yep, you got to be honest, be straight up, be straightforward, and you know what you can handle. You mm-hmm. know, you should not let anyone force you to stay in a situation that's not conducive of the things that you need. And I know that sounds crazy considering there are a lot of people who go into relationships for the wrong reason. They go in because of what someone has to offer. But then when you think about it in the long run, would you want to be with someone who is only with you because of what you could give them?
Right.
Yeah.
And this great book that I'm in the process of reading right now, one of the questions that they ask is kind of like, as you are trying to prepare yourself for a relationship, one of the questions they ask is, what is important for your partner to know about you? So is safety a top priority? Is security a top priority? Is honesty, transparency? Like there was a whole list of things and you get to pick 5 of them. So for instance, once I pick the 5, so if I say transparency, integrity, safety, boundaries, consistency. So let's say those were the 5 that I picked. I'm like, it's so important for my partner to know my values and uphold these 5 different things. So once you pick those, it then turned around and said, okay, now make a promise to yourself that you are going to do these things for you. So you can't expect someone to be consistent with you or enforce your boundaries if I'm not enforcing my own boundaries and I'm not being consistent with myself.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. How can I require someone else to do that for me?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I love that part. Okay. Now evaluate your perspective. Think about, and for me, I think this is a heavy part of consideration. So it almost goes into the part where you're saying I used to be all about me, but now I consider my partner as well. And so I think that's something else. Like we sometimes tend to make a decision in our own little box And it can be something as simple as making plans with a friend. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, we can go out at 6 o'clock, knowing good and well that you told your significant other that y'all would do something at 6:30, exactly. Knowing you and your friend don't do nothing in no 30 minutes at all. It's like 2 hours, and you'd be like, oh babe, he'll be all right. He'll be fine. And he could have made all of these plans to have a fantastic date, and you just brush it off and say, oh, he'll be good.
That's not cool, because now you're causing more issues in your relationship because you're not thinking about your partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And then you said, take things slow. So I can't remember the term. What is it? Slow is fast and fast is slow. I don't remember. Anyway, I don't remember it, but I definitely think that that's good too, because I think that when we are in a relationship, or when we're getting to know someone and we're filled with just all of this dopamine and endorphins, and we're just head over heels and like, oh my God, he could, he may, she may be the one or whatever. And you want to spend all this time with them. And it's like, before you know it, you're almost like trying to speed things up because you're enjoying their company so much. But to me, it's like, when you go that fast, you can miss some red or yellow flags. So like, even for me, if I'm on the highway and I'm driving at 80 miles an hour, I'm gonna see some things. I'm not gonna see everything. But if I'm driving 20 miles an hour, oh, I'm gonna see a lot of stuff. I'm gonna see this thing. And then the stuff that I see in the road or in the lane that I need to swerve, I'm gonna see it a lot clearer at 20 miles an hour.
Oh yes.
I'm gonna see it at 80. At 80, I might hit that thing and run over it. And then to look around and be like, well, what was that? Versus the 20 miles an hour. So I definitely think that that's good too, that we really need to take things slow. And I feel like that also gives us time to actually think and process even the other three prior steps that you gave us. Mm-hmm. So like, especially the change part. So if we're going super fast and all of a sudden they make this decision, but we're still going mad fast, we're not taking the time to be like, okay, well, wait a second. This is okay. So I said that I wanted to stay south, but you're talking about moving up north, and you was working 8 hours, but now you have to work 15 hours. Does this still work for our lifestyle? And so I definitely think that's a very good, a good point with that, with taking things slow, especially if nothing else, so that you can go back and think and process.
Yes. And that's the way it needs to be in order for us to have healthy relationships. We have to really stop and really evaluate all aspects of it before we make any permanent decisions based on temporary feelings.
Yes, exactly. How many of us have been there?
Been there, done that, got several t-shirts to prove it.
Right, exactly. Okay, and the last one, there is no commitment with I. So the thing that popped up for me when you were saying this is almost, to me, this is almost like the accept me as I am kind of thing. So like when people are like, accept me as I am. Okay, but how are you? Like, are you nasty for real? Like, is that something that you actually need to clean up? Is that something that you actually need to do better? Do you really need to, like, you probably really do need to check your attitude, and I really don't want to accept that. And then so to think, okay, would I want to be in partnership with myself? And if you say no, definitely there is a lot of changes that need to take place. Because I'd be like, well, child, who would not want to be my friend? Like, what's wrong with you if you don't want to be my friend? I don't get it. I don't understand. So it's like, if we can't say that when we're in a relationship, that's definitely something to really evaluate, and not just expecting someone to come to you in a relationship and then accept you for all of this foolishness. And then you're making them do all of this extra work just to get to you or to prove something. And I'm like, now that part shouldn't be that hard. Like, either you're interested or you're not. Now, certainly everyone should come with some kind of effort, but if you're making them tear down a brick wall that they did not create, then it's like, I don't think that's entirely fair.
That's completely unfair, because what ends up happening in the event that that relationship doesn't work, this person is walking away scarred. And 9 out of 10, they're going into another relationship with this scar, with their guard up, mm-hmm. and they're going to be exhibiting those symptoms, because unfortunately we've been programmed in this day and age to, and I'm going to tell you what somebody told me when I was younger, the best way to get over one man is by getting under another. Now tell me what sense that made, especially when you're leaving a relationship where you've been hurt, where you've been put in a position where you're doubting yourself, you don't trust yourself, you don't believe in yourself, you don't feel like you're pretty, you don't, you know, you're now a people pleaser because you used to have to do everything to try to get their love and affection. Now you're bringing all that mess into a new relationship. And guess what? This person who did nothing to you is feeling the brunt of all of that, which is completely unfair to them. Now they can either sit around and work with you until you get to your healing point, or they can walk away, and 9 out of 10, they're walking away with hurt from that situation. And then the cycle continues. We all have to be responsible for ourselves, for our issues, for our relationships. So what if you were hurt? And I mean this in the nicest way. So what if you were hurt as a kid? Why does that mean you have to project your hurt onto someone else? That's selfish. And if you are not taking the necessary steps to heal yourself and to get on a better path, then you're just causing more problems in your relationship. So don't give me the, oh, but my parents did this to me. Okay, it's unfortunate that that happened to you. But when do you get up and take ownership for the person who you are today? There comes a point where you have to stop blaming other people for the things that you've gone through, the things that you've done, and for where you are in life now, and own where you are in life. You don't like where you are? Work at it. Because the truth is, and if we want to be blunt, almost all of us have some kind of trauma we're dealing with and working through. Mm-hmm. Whether it was parents, a family member, a friend, you know, an associate, a stranger, we've all have some kind of trauma to deal with. But you have to get to that point where it's like, enough is enough. I'm not going to allow that situation to control me anymore. I want to be a great person for my partner. I want to be a great person for myself. And I'm going to take the necessary steps to become that better person. And this is why I tell people all the time, therapy is your best friend. Yeah. Therapy is your best friend. Don't neglect therapy. I get it, in our community, it's slowly starting to become more normalized, but there's still a lot of people who don't want to take that step because they were trained or they were taught to keep their business behind closed doors. Don't go out there and tell people your business, but that's not helping you. It's eating you up at the inside, and it's making you a horrible person. It's making you someone who no one wants to deal with. You have a partner that's probably looking at you right now, trying to figure out how to get out of this relationship because you're not who they thought you were, mm-hmm. you know? So I would just suggest that anybody who has issues, and you can be honest with yourself about your issues, the first step is to get to therapy. And look, you might meet a therapist and that therapist might not rub you the right way. Don't give up on therapy right there. I tell people all the time, therapy is like walking into a DSW. You find a nice pair of shoes you're looking for, you kind of grab it, you leave. But then you get home, you put it on, you realize, hey, the shoe's kind of too small. What do? Take it back to DSW, exchange it, find another pair, and you try it on, walk around in it. If it feels good, you take it to the register, you pay for it, and you leave. You got to try until you find the one that works for you. I've been through a couple and I finally found the one that I've been looking for my entire life, you know? So don't give up, keep looking. And I promise you, on the day you get better with yourself, the day you can acknowledge where you're going wrong and you're being intentional about making changes to yourself for the better, is the day your relationship is going to turn around.
That's good. And it's like, even as we're going through this right now, it's still almost like your steps can repeat itself, like rinse and repeat, almost like, okay, well, if I'm not the type of person that I would want to date, let me go back to step one. Let me identify, like, okay, well, who do I want to be? What is the type of person that I want to be in this relationship? So, okay, I see the little recycle, the rinse and repeat here. All right.
Yep.
So then my next question is, okay, so let's say that we have determined that we indeed are stuck. And let's say we said, okay, you know what? This really doesn't serve me the way that I was expecting it to, or this doesn't serve me in the way that it initially did in the beginning, and I don't think this is a good fit. How does one then, what is the best way, or how does one prepare to make an exit so they can completely get unstuck?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. And I know every relationship situation is different. And I must preface this by saying that if you are in an abusive relationship, you might need to reach out to the domestic abuse hotline and speak to one of the professionals there, and they'll be able to help you create your way out. But what I'm about to say is not for someone who is in a physically abusive relationship. I would suggest that if you are in a relationship and you're realizing that it's time to go and you're trying to strategize and figure out how to do it, 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to do it. You're going to find a reason to stay, and that's not going to help you in the long run. Sometimes you just have to nip it in the bud, and it's going to hurt because this is someone you care for. This is someone who you want to see the best for them, but it's sucking the life out of you. You have to just call a spade, and you got to go. You know, talk with your parents, family members, close friends, and see if they can accommodate you for a little while you navigate these new waters. If you're in a position where you can afford to go out and get a place on your own, then go and don't look back. I tell people all the time, your ex is an ex for a reason. If you're leaving them, there's a reason. And if that reason was so strong and powerful 2-3 years ago, it should still hold that same weight 2-3 years from now.
All right. Just pack your stuff up and go.
Just go. I know it sounds so silly because it's like, no, Melissa, but there's so much other things going on. I can't leave. We have the kids. We got this. There's so much happening. But guess what? The more we find time for excuses, is the smaller, it's just the chances of us leaving is slim to none. Mm-hmm. We have to just be able to bite that bullet and make the move. And yes, things are going to be tough for a little while, but the intent is not to stay stuck. The intent is to get unstuck. And the only way to get unstuck is to just do it.
Yeah. And I think what can happen there is that if you think on it too long, or you hem and haw over it, then essentially all you're doing is delaying the inevitable.
Exactly.
So whereas maybe your relationship was only supposed to last 3 years, but because there were those good days and you allowed those good days to coast you over and through the bad, and then next thing you know, 12 years later, you're still there, but now you're like, this really isn't going to work for me, when you could have severed ties a long time ago. And I feel that I've heard plenty of people say, well, you know, I'm doing this for the kids. I'm staying for the kids. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes we don't give children enough credit for how resilient they can be, especially if you all separated on good and amicable terms with that. And especially like for young kids, to me, like newborn to 4, like they don't really remember too much, especially 3 at least. Like they don't really remember too much. So for them to kind of separate from that as they grow older, to me, it can kind of be a norm for them, versus if you wait till they really get older and start to really have those memories and remember people and things and places, then I think it could become more difficult possibly for the children to adjust, or at least if you waited that extra time more so. So I don't know if you have any opinions on that or what you think about that.
I agree with the sentiment of when you don't go when you're supposed to, how you pretty much end up spending time in a place you're not supposed to be. And you find out now years passed and you're still in that same situation, if not worse. I know that has happened to a lot of people, and I will never tell someone who's down or who's going through that right now, well, you should have left earlier. No.
Yeah.
What my advice would be is, now that you know what the situation is, it's time to go. Everything happens for a reason, and everything happens in due time. you decided to stay, and there might have been a great reason why you decided to stay, but there were a lot of lessons that came with that decision. And now that you've learned those lessons, it's time for you to graduate.
Ooh, that's time to graduate.
Time to graduate.
Yeah. And I think another thing that people can do, this is what I had to do anyway, is I had to come up with a list. Like, I literally did pros and cons. Like, this is the life that I want for myself. This is currently where I am right now. This is where I would prefer to be. If I stay in this lane right here, will I ever get there? And if I'm not, then clearly there are some changes that I need to make. And so, but definitely either way, it is time to graduate.
It's time to graduate. It's time to graduate. Okay.
And so here is my final question for you. What advice would you give our sisters out there regarding becoming unstuck in relationships?
First and foremost, evaluate yourself. Look at who you are as a person, as an individual, as a partner, and figure out if this is the person who you want to continue to be. If you realize that the person who you truly are is not being able to live inside the relationship that you have, then it's time for you to evaluate if that relationship is for you. You should never have to stifle yourself. You should never have to shrink yourself. You should never have to demote yourself. You should never have to fall back because of who you are, because of your personality. If the person who you're with cannot love you for who you are, for being the bright, effervescent, strong, independent, unique person that you are, then that might not be the relationship for you. Oftentimes, we're told as women that we need to be submissive to the person that we're with, whether that's our husband, our boyfriend, significant other. But a lot of us don't truly understand what submission really means. Submission doesn't mean when I say jump, you say how high. That's not it. Submission, and I'm using this in the context of marriage, submission means submitting to the mission of marriage. That means working together as a team to accomplish whatever it is that you guys are working towards. So when they say behind every strong man, there is a woman. No, honey, we don't do behind nothing. We are beside, because we're equal in this partnership. God might have called the husband to be the head, but we the neck. We right there. Okay? So do not ever feel the need to be inferior in your relationship, or to allow someone to make you feel inferior in your relationship. If you cannot be a partner with your significant other, if you're being treated like you're a child, if your opinions mean nothing because you're a woman, you might need to reevaluate that relationship. So I guess my final advice would be to really just think about who you are. Focus on who you are and what it is that you need in order to make you better. What's going to complement you? Not what's going to complete you, because we like to say, oh, he completes me. No, honey, nobody should have that power over you. He should complement you. If he's not complementing what you bring to the table, then he may not be the one. So that would be my piece of advice.
Love it. Evaluate yourself. And really through, I hope y'all have gotten this underlying thread through all of this. This whole thread has been honesty and integrity with self. Be honest about what you want and even who you are as a person, and everything else flows. Love it. Yes. Melissa, thank you so much for gracing us with your wisdom today. And I so appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it too.
Man, many thanks to Melissa. She gave us so much information to chew on, so many gems and so many things for us to think about. Honestly, I think my favorite one was when she asked, can I be with someone like me? Like, that is a question, because if you don't find yourself pleasant to be around, or if you know that you would not want to be with someone like you, with your quirks, your nuances, and all the things, then it's like, okay, we need to reevaluate for sure. So let me give you a little bit more information about Melissa so that you know exactly who she is. Melissa is a relationship coach who specializes in giving newlyweds the blueprint for adapting to life as a thriving team, all by owning their mess. She is also the host of the relationship podcast, the Own Your Ship podcast. Melissa has had a passion for building healthy marriages, especially after walking into her marriage, expecting it to be a Disney movie fairy tale. Have we not all been there? She maintained toxic behaviors from her life of singleness and was forced to evaluate her marriage. She had to either change or walk away. She chose to stay and evolve into the wife that she was destined to be, and she refuses to see any more women fail on their journey to happily ever after. Today, Melissa is still happily married to the love of her life, Javon, and is a mama bear of three beautiful kids. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Melissa, as I said. And as I say every time, I'm definitely going to leave her information in the show notes so that way you know exactly how to get in touch with her. So, sis, there is no one like you. There is no one out here that can do the things that you do. So show up, let your light shine bright, and never dim it for anyone. Until next time, bye.